John, you can just turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John. So however you engage with Scripture, just find the Gospel of John. We're going to be doing kind of an intro to the intro to the Gospel of John. But before we dive in, let's pray together. Open, Lord, my eyes that I may see. Open, Lord, my ears that I may hear. Open, Lord, my heart and my mind that I may understand. And so shall I turn to you and be healed. And all who agree, say with me, amen, amen. Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ, from the words of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. So however you hear this statement from Mr. Bonhoeffer, I hope you hear it with a little bit of encouragement, not necessarily shame or regret, but I hope you hear it in a word of refreshment, that Christianity without the following of Jesus, without the going through life with Jesus, is always Christianity without Christ. I want to begin 2025 with this image of a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. And when it comes to discipleship, some of us, maybe we're here today, maybe we were there at one particular time in our life, but we tend to want to stay in the fixed mindset, where I've got all the answers, I've got it all figured out, I don't need to learn anything new, I've got this whole Jesus thing, I've got this whole Bible thing, I've got this whole Christianity thing, I'm good. If you're there, may I humbly say that you're not there. You're in this fixed mindset place. And where I think we all need to be is in this growth mindset, to where we are open to learn, we are open to receive, we are open to grow, because that is what discipleship is all about. We are growing in Christ. And the process by which that looks like is what discipleship is all about. In Kurt Thompson's book, Anatomy of the Soul, he makes just this one powerful argument throughout the entirety of the book, and that is our entire selves, our mind, our psyche, our soul has been programmed to grow. We have been wired for change, which echoes out of this very powerful statement that Paul makes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, about transformation, about formation. In Romans 12, verse 2, Paul says that we are not conformed to the pattern of this world, but instead we are transformed by the renewing of our minds, which gives out this impression, this idea of a growth mindset, that we can change, we can grow, we can mature. We haven't arrived, we're not going to arrive, and that is okay. We keep on growing, we keep on maturing. Why? Because our bodies were hardwired that way. Our minds were hardwired for growth. Our minds were hardwired for change, to be able to change. There are spiritual disciplines that John and Doug are promoting in their Psalms class, and spiritual disciplines that we're going to journey through in 2025 that leads towards spiritual formation. And if you practice these, if you give any of these a shot, I hope that you witness and experience spiritual transformation, spiritual growth, because we're hardwired for it. We open and present ourselves to the one who brings about the change. 2025 is all about discipleship. That's what 2025 is all about. And I am quite confident that for some of us, the word discipleship is one of those Christianese words that makes you shiver a little bit. According to a study done by the Barna Group, those who consider themselves practicing Christians, only 23% out of those polled prefer the term discipleship. 54% prefer the phrase becoming more like Christ, which is just, of course, another way of phrasing yourself as being a disciple. I know personally many who, when talking about their faith, won't use the term Christian. They just simply won't use it. Instead, they'll use a phrase like follower of Jesus, which again is another core phrase for the identity marker of being a disciple. But discipleship is the process of following Jesus, being transformed to become more like Jesus. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says, "In this world we are like Christ. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did." So a disciple is following in the footsteps of Jesus. The entirety of one's self, one's vocation, one's day-to-dayness, from the time we wake up until the time we go to bed, and in between both of those times, we are disciples, followers of Jesus. So this morning, I hope to accomplish two things with us. The first one is to ask and to present a path with which to answer this question. What does it mean and look like to be a disciple? What does it mean and what does it look like to be a disciple? The "He is greater than I" kind of logo that is a part of what 2025 is all about. What does it mean for me to go about making sure that I am that lowercase I and Jesus is the all uppercase He? So what does it mean and what does it look like to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus? And the second one, what does it mean and what does it look like to be a disciple in community with others? Because we don't go about this on our own. Yes, we are ultimately responsible for how we put ourselves in postures and positions of growing as a disciple. I am responsible for Michael when it comes towards that. You are responsible for you. Nobody else is responsible for your growth as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple of Jesus. That is on you, along with the help of the Holy Spirit. But the second part of this is, what does it mean and what does it look like to grow as a disciple with others? Because we cannot do it on our own. About 30% of those polled from the Barner Group poll study, 30%, so almost a third of those polls said that they prefer to go at it alone. They believe, 30% of those polled believe that, you know what, I can grow in my relationship with the Lord all by myself. I don't need a community. I don't need brothers and sisters. I don't need anybody to hold me accountable. I've got this. Just me and Jesus. That's all that I need. 30%. And 30% are missing out on some of the most beautiful and life-changing opportunities and experiences in their life because they have this John Wayne mentality that I can go about it on my own, that I don't need anybody else. And about 30% of that same poll prefer groups. So for the lowercase I, John chapter 3, verse 30 is for all of us. Now, we're memorizing John 3, verse 30 out of the NIV. But older translations, specifically the New Revised Standard Version, I like. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now, in the context of this verse, it's talking about John the Baptist and his ministry. That his time of preparing the way for the Lord was coming to an end. And he himself and his ministry is going to come to an end so that Jesus' ministry can go forth and bring about the fullness of the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God. But when we, as followers of Jesus, as disciples of Jesus, look at this statement, what does it mean for me personally? What does it mean for me, lowercase I? That in my day-to-dayness, in my life, in my relationships, in my career, in my neighborhoods, whatever it is that God has placed me in this world to be and to do, how am I making sure that Jesus is increasing and I am decreasing? Because at the end of the day, it is all about Him. It's all about Jesus. I just happen to be a part of the journey. I just happen to be a part of going along for the ride with God and making sure that Jesus is praised and glorified. And I have the joy of being a part of it. But at the end of the day, He is going to increase. I am going to decrease. And in my life, those who have taken this verse seriously, I have found them to be people with the most joy, the most peace, the most self-control. There's something different about them. To where people look at them and they see it. They're like, what makes you so, ooh, you're weird. Why are you so weird? But yet at the same time, I want that weirdness. I want what you have. He is increasing. I am decreasing. And I'm living out of the joy and the love and the purpose of what that means and what that looks like. There is an invitation and an awareness of who I am and who Jesus is. This year we are going to absorb the Gospel of John together. We are going to be a sponge and we are going to soak it all in together. And as we spend time soaking in the Gospel of John, I hope and I pray that we begin to grasp the gravity of how this one God-man, Word become flesh, in history has completely changed the course and direction of the past, the present, and the future. And how no matter how hard His name has been attempted to be erased from human history, all it does and all it has done has made His name and His legacy even more impactful. What I hope is that with the grasp and the gravity of it, we have this proper perspective of humility. That I am at my best when I am a lowercase I, not an uppercase I. That I am at my best as a human being when Jesus is all uppercase H-E and I am all lowercase I. What I hope happens for all of us. And also, as we journey through the Gospel of John, we pay attention to the reactions that people had towards Jesus when He showed just a smidge of who He is. From simply speaking and demons fleeing. From simply speaking and storms ceasing. From simply speaking and ailments that dehumanized people were cleansed and people were set free. From powerful, powerful statements like, where are your accusers? Where are they at? Where are your accusers? Neither do I condemn you. I do not condemn you. Go and leave your life of sin. And how those same stories and same words impact us so today. But this crucial part of discipleship is putting myself, our lowercase I, in a place and posture where lowercase I absorbs these stories and we allow the Spirit to use them to shape us, to heal us, and to move us. I look at passages like John chapter 1 and verse 43. Jesus decided to leave on from Galilee. Finding Philip, He said to him, follow me. It's what each of us do every single day when we wake up and we leave the house. We respond to this invitation. Will you follow me? Will you follow Jesus? And then later on, in just a few sentences, in John chapter 1, verse 46, we have this other part to discipleship. Kind of a bit of banter back and forth. Yes, bantering takes place in the Bible. A little bit of sarcasm, a little bit of humility. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael asked. And then Philip responds, come and see. Come and see. Will you follow me? The invitation from Jesus to each of us, each and every single day of our lives. And will you go and see? Will you go and see how he is at work in the world? Follow me and come and see. The invitation that is echoed into every single person who has heard about Jesus. Come, follow me. With the awareness and understanding that we live into and we live out of that invitation for the rest of our lives. It's what discipleship is all about. Discipleship is this lifelong committed, this roller coaster ride process. It's a process. It's a growth process. It's a maturing process. It's a, I messed up here, but I'm not going to give in and I'm not going to give up. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to keep going forward. I'm going to keep following. I'm going to keep coming and seeing what Jesus is up to. And I'm going to keep following him. With the beautiful, inspiring reality that as you draw nearer to God, as you follow Jesus, as you draw nearer to Jesus each and every single day, you become aware of how much he has been drawing near to you. That is a beautiful awakening. And I pray that many of you have already experienced that. Where you've been chasing after Jesus, you've been pursuing after Jesus, you've been going after him, and then you realize all the while you've been going after him, he has been going after you. You're drawing near to him, and he's drawing near to you. There's a video that we're going to watch. I don't know. No, not yet. I kind of build it up a little bit. Any of you that watch YouTube or spend any time on YouTube know that sometimes videos come across that you weren't looking for, that you had no intentions of coming about. And this is one of those videos. The first time I watched it, I think I did repeat at least 6 times because it moved me so. It is Nearer My God to Thee, done by an orchestra, by a guy whose name I cannot pronounce. I'm not going to try. His first name is Andre, but it could be Andre, or it could be something with a little bit more flair to it that I'm not going to be able to accomplish. But it's a video of this song being performed. And what I want us all to kind of witness and experience together is when it comes to discipleship, sometimes we can lean really, really heavy on the mind part of discipleship. On the information part. And that's crucial. That's important. There ain't no doubt about it. As emphasized in our class this morning, we are to love God with all of our mind. And that is a part of discipleship, is growing in our knowledge, growing in our information, but not just staying there. It's allowing that information, it's allowing that knowledge to do something to us. So we can sing Nearer My God to Thee. We can know the background of it. And Jared, thank you for giving a little bit of the history about that hymn. We can know all about that information. But what does the song do to you? What does it do through you? That's what this video kind of did for me and why I went on repeat over and over and over again. It's not just the melody, even though it's powerful and it's beautiful. It's, wow, I want to be nearer to God. And this song invites me to chase after that. Go ahead and press play. The invitation in the we part of this sermon begins with the captivation that Jesus called 12 individuals and invited them to live into community that followed Him. All discipleship, individual and communal, begins and ends with following Jesus. But how Jesus sets this up is by bringing together who He brought together and all the stories they had to tell, both the good and the not so good. Stories about Judas, which always ended in sadness and awkwardness. Stories about Peter that would have been a little bit awkward, a little bit laughter time, and a little bit of, I can't believe he said or did that. Stories about James and John. You guys remember when you got up in front of everybody and said, can we sit in your left at your right hand and in your kingdom just because Jesus called you sons of thunder? And they all had this kind of awkward look at each other. The times that they would remember when Jesus looked at them all really, really seriously and said, why are you guys so dull? Why don't you get this? And they laughed. And then they had that awkward laugh. And then they all sighed together. But they did it in community. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 23. Jesus said, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. John chapter 17, beginning in verse 20. My prayer is not for just those Christians alone, for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of y'all may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, I in you and me, I in us. So that they may be brought to complete unity. And the world will know that you sent me, and I have loved them even as you have loved me. As we draw nearer to God each and every single Sunday, and I pray that as you draw nearer to God each and every single day, the gift of life that we are given, I pray that you see that He is drawing ever so nearer to you to bring about the truth statements that Jesus makes. I in them, and they in you. The amount of resources that are available for both individual and communal discipleship is almost overwhelming. But there are some tools I wish to quickly give us, just three, that I hope will help us as we journey together in pursuing to grow like Jesus. The first one is the spiritual discipline of time management, which is really, really, really important. First place priorities get second place energy. But too often, second place priorities get our first place energy. What you love, you and I will give our attention to. You are what you love. That which you are pursuing, you and I are eventually becoming. James K. Smith has a book called You Are What You Love, The Spiritual Power of Habit. So if Romans 12:2 is true at all, that we do not conform to the pattern of this world, but are transformed by the renewing of our minds, what does that look like in regards to time management? If Galatians 2:20 is true at all, that I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What does that look like in regards to our time management? The second one is this. Talk to one of us. Talk to me, talk to Jared, grab one of our shepherds. Talk to someone about where you are at in your faith journey and be honest about it. Be real about it. Don't try to put a mask over it or to cover it up or pretend like you're just fine. No, be real and be honest about it. And commit to one of our gatherings. Commit to our Sunday school classes. Commit to a life group. If you're teetering on this growth process of where you're at in a follower of Jesus and you think you can just go about it on your own even though you know you can't, make the leap of faith and commit to one of our classes. Commit to our life group. Talk to one of us about it. And the third one is this. And Arise team, y'all can join me up here. The first one is really important. Time management. Second one, important as well. The third one is going to make all the difference in the world. Follow through. No matter what it is that you're trying to get better at, no matter how it is that you're, this is the person that I want to become, you can have as much information as you could possibly have. But if you don't have the inspiration to put it into practice, you're going to stay where you're at. You're not going to grow. You're not going to develop. In fact, you'll degrow, you'll develop, you'll go backwards. You'll go backwards. Stand with me, church. As we kick off 2025, and as you yourself kick off 25 personally or as a family, I pray that you jump on board with us in this direction of discipleship, of Jesus being greater than I. And that each and every single day that you commit time management, you commit to one of our groups, you commit to following through, that I'm going to be drawing nearer to God each and every single day of my life. And I pray that as you do, you'll see that He is drawing ever so nearer to you. As we close out the service, if you would like to see prayers from your brothers and sisters, please come down here and see me. As always, we have a shepherd and we have a lady prayer warrior out by our prayer room. So if you need to respond, please do so. Let's pray together, and then we'll worship. God, thank you for the invitation of the gospel. Father, thank you for the words of John. Father, as we chase after and as we pursue the story of Jesus out of the book of John, God, may we find you directing us and guiding us. Father, may we be open to hear and to receive. But Father, as we kick off 2025, may each and every single one of us in this room and those who are worshiping with us online, may we all commit to drawing nearer to you. God, give us the time management skills, give us the courage to commit, and give us the courage to follow through. We want to be fully devoted, all in disciples of Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we confess that we can't do it without you. So please help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship together.